The first question says, in the fourth commandment, it says, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Does work referenced in this commandment include good works?
The work referred to in the fourth commandment is work, what Ellen White calls servile work. The Bible also calls it servile work. Work for reward, work to sustain yourself, work to support your family. That's the work referred to in the fourth commandment. When Jesus says, is it lawful to do good or to heal? He did not say, is it lawful to work? You find that in Mark chapter 3 and in Luke chapter 14. Is it lawful to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? The Bible does not authorize servile work on the Sabbath, working to support yourself. It does not authorize it. It permits good works that relieve suffering. And so in Mark chapter 3, in the synagogue, Jesus healed a man. But before healing him, he asked the Pharisees, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And the Bible says they held their peace. The obvious answer is it is fine to do good on the Sabbath day. It is not lawful to work for a living on the Sabbath day. And this is clearly taught to us in Exodus chapter 16, because God sent manna 6 days a week, did not send any on the seventh day. There was no living to be found on the seventh day. And the Bible tells us in Exodus 16, verse 29, see, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore the Lord giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. So what you need for survival on the Sabbath is provided on another day, not the Sabbath day. Let me say it again. God does not provide a living on the Sabbath day. So if you're making a living on the Sabbath day, it did not come from God. You can draw your conclusion from that. It did not come from God. Because the manna story in Exodus 16 teaches clearly, don't go out on the Sabbath for your sustenance or to make a living or to support yourself. Trust me. I'll provide it during the 6 days. I'll double up on the six. You won't find any on the Sabbath. We have to obey God strictly, not negotiate. Are you with me? When God told Elisha to tell Naaman, dip 7 times, if Naaman had dipped 6.9999999, he would have left a leper. He had to dip 7. Let's keep God's Sabbath holy and trust God to take care of us.
Next question. Are there exemptions to the Sabbath law for essential workers like doctors, nurses, and firefighters?
When you say essential workers, then every worker presents himself as essential. You understand? You said doctors, nurses, firefighters. Well, any other area of work that is associated with daily living may be regarded as essential. We cannot introduce exemptions to God's law. Yes, we are to heal on the Sabbath. That is not, many years ago when I was a boy, we'd go to nursing homes and we sing, we change the patient, turn the patient over, do what had to be done. That was easing suffering on the Sabbath. There was no payment for that. Many years ago, I was in Scotland somewhere. I was in a friend's house who was not an Adventist. And he was doing some work, mixing cement right in his driveway. Sabbath was just coming on, and the cement was quick drying cement. And he had a mountain of cement right in the driveway, and it would have hardened into Mount Kilimanjaro. And so I ran out, I took a shovel with him, and I helped him to move it out right on the very edge of the Sabbath. Didn't bother my conscience at all. That was not work. That was a good service to someone really in a dire situation. Jesus said, if your animal falls into the pit, Luke 14, verse 5, Which one of you would not pull it out on the Sabbath day? That's not working for a living. That is doing some good to someone or to something. So if Christ can approve doing good to an animal, surely he will approve doing good to those made in his image, but not working for a living.
This is a follow-up, Pastor. So if Seventh-day Adventist health professionals don't work on Sabbaths, who will care for the sick in the hospitals on Saturdays?
The health professionals.
How?
By just doing good, not working. Mm-hmm. You go in, medical ministry, page 216, paragraph 2. Do what's necessary to keep the person comfortable. If you're remunerated, give the money to the church. That's what the servant of the Lord tells us. So yes, the health professionals will ease suffering on Sabbath. That is not the same thing as working. During the week, they are paid. But on Sabbath, our counselors don't do anything beside easing suffering, making the patients comfortable. And beyond that, do nothing. If you're remunerated, give the money to the church to be used for those with no health insurance, by the way. Not to build a building, to be used for those who cannot afford health insurance. Medical ministry, page 216, paragraph 2. All right, next question.
Next question. Some Adventists believe that funerals or services for the dead are worship services and can be done during Sabbath hours. Is conducting or attending such services on the Sabbath breaking the Sabbath? Is it proper to commence any kind of celebration or party during Sabbath hours or before sunset?
Let's deal with the funerals first. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has no opposition to a funeral being conducted on Sabbath. The thing that must be kept in mind is nothing must be done to violate the holiness of the Sabbath. And this question comes up very often. Can I attend a funeral on the Sabbath or wedding? Now, keep in mind, God gave us 6 days. He kept just one. Surely, a funeral can be arranged on one of the six. Just in case, now I said earlier, the church has no stated opposition to a funeral on Sabbath. But just in case it might be a problem in God's eyes, have it on one of the 6 days. God gave us six. He kept one. So to be safe, avoid it. But the church does not condemn it. I need to say that clearly. We also get questions about weddings on Sabbath. Now, if I had to attend one or the other, I would attend a funeral. You understand? At a funeral, people are somber, they're solemn, their minds are open, they listen to the word. It's a time of sadness, no merrymaking. But while I avoid both, if I had to attend one, it would be the funeral, because I've not yet seen a wedding where God was the focus. I think I saw one. The focus of a wedding, tell me if I'm right, is the bride, the lady getting married. What is she wearing? What are the bridesmaids wearing? How will they march? All of that. That is the focus of a wedding. Not really God, based on what I've seen, and I've gone to all kinds of weddings. And so my counsel again, if you can avoid it, because you have 6 days and God only has one. As I said, for funerals, attending a wedding on Sabbath may be wrong. I said maybe, but not attending is absolutely not wrong. Are you following me? If you don't go, you've not done wrong. If you go, you might have done wrong. So to be on the safe side, avoid it. That's all I'm saying.
What about doing laundry, watching secular movies, attending graduation ceremonies, weddings, taking exams, going to or ordering food from restaurants on Sabbath hours to eat?
All of that, the answer is no. Absolutely no. Let's take the last one first, ordering food. The Bible tells us in Exodus 16, 23, 24, prepare your food on the day before the Sabbath. If you have no refrigerator, don't worry. Somebody say amen. It will not spoil. God has not changed since the Exodus. Are you following me? The God that preserved food then will preserve food now. We're counseled biblically, cook the day before the Sabbath. Graduations, avoid them. Secular movies or whatever else the person wrote, absolutely not. Not even during the week. Are you following me? I mean, what's the spiritual value of watching, I don't know, whatever people watch? No, 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 no. This was given to you to glorify God. And we're told by Ellen White, the mind takes on the shape and the disposition of that which it is fed. If all you feed your mind is video games and movies, then the mind has a hard time appreciating and understanding spiritual things. So that whole list, no.
Next question. Is it proper to occupy Sabbath hours with church meetings, like board meetings, club meetings, departmental meetings, or church visitations, such that having Sabbath rest becomes difficult?
Okay. Let me pray again. Father in heaven, give me wisdom and discretion as I answer your people whom you love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I go back to the fact that we have 6 days. Let's look at the tithe. God gives you 100, is it Naira? Is that what you call it in Nigeria? God says, give me 10, you handle the 90. Okay? God says, you take 6 days to do all your work. Part of the work is church work. Not all church work is suitable for the Sabbath. Are you following me? A board meeting should be held during the week. Now, if there's an emergency meeting for some reason, that may happen, yes. But we cannot crowd all meetings on the Sabbath day. And the reason why we do that, we're not willing, and I hope I'm not being harsh, to give God time during the week because we are busy. We're busy living the lives God gave us, if you see what I'm trying to say. We're busy. Now, God is so good, he could say, oh, you're busy. Okay, I'll take your job. Now you have time. He can do that. You're too busy? Fine. I'll make you sick. Now you can rest. God can do that. But God is so nice. He pleads and he pleads and he pleads. Treat my Sabbath as something special because it's special to me. And so as far as possible, I was at a church preaching in one called the country. And when I got up in the pulpit, I said, is everyone present who should be present? And they said, no. I said, what do you mean, no? They said, there's a rehearsal. The choir is rehearsing in the basement. And I said, during the divine service? They said, yes. I said, listen, here's what I'll do. You sing a hymn and I will sit down. While a deacon who's not afraid to do his work goes downstairs and tells that choir to come up. And so I sat down. And then the choir came up and sat down in the service. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. There's rehearsal going on. Now, what's to prevent the pathfinders from rehearsing and the deaconesses from rehearsing and the deacons from rehearsing and whomever else requires rehearsal? What is to prevent them? Because a precedent has been set. My brothers and sisters, the test of loyalty to God is Sabbath observance. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, that was the test. In our entrance into Canaan, the heavenly Canaan, that will be the test with the Sabbath law, with the Sunday law. The Sabbath observance is the test of loyalty to God. Give God some time during the week. You cannot lose by giving God time. You see, time is life. Life is God's life. He's loaned to you. And so give him back some of what is his. All things come of thee. 1 Chronicles 29:14, and of thine own have we given thee. Give God time during the week. And as far as possible, don't crowd everything. on the Sabbath. It's a good day to, yes, come and worship, then go out with your children, tell them about nature, what Jesus did, you know, fellowship, maybe meet in someone's home for Bible study, something, go sing for someone in a nursing home. Not meetings, 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 where people just argue with one another. I'm not saying there isn't an occasion for that from time to time, but let's not make it a regular part of our church behavior. That's all I'm suggesting. Keep the Sabbath holy. There must be a distinction between the Sabbath and the other 6 days. There must be a distinction. The Sabbath isn't a less secular day. It is a holy day. Next question.
Pastor, will I be breaking the Sabbath if I have intimate relations with my spouse on the Sabbath day?
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Okay. Yeah. I am too young for that kind of question. But go with me to Exodus 19. Let me show you something. You won't believe it, but it's in the Bible. Exodus 19. Now, in this chapter, God has given Moses instructions to prepare the Israelites to receive him. He's coming down on Sinai in chapter 20. He's preparing them in chapter 19. Do you have Exodus 19? Read verse 15 microscopically, clear and loud. What does that say? And he said unto whom? The people, be ready. Against the third day, finish the verse. Come not at your wives. No sexual relations. While God is here. Now, if some person could have said, Moses, you can't tell me what to do, that person would have been struck dead by God. Moses commanded them. He's commanding a husband and a wife no sexual relations during this period. Now, I'm not sure if I answered the question, but when someone is engaged in that lawful activity for spouses, I said lawful activity for spouses, who is thinking about God? Do you start with opening prayer? Do you pick up an offering? Who is thinking about God? Nobody. You have 6 days to do that. Are you with me? How many times must I tell you, you have 6 days to do all of that? Leave God's day alone, please, and he will bless you. All right, next question.
How can church leaders plan or organize programs and activities to avoid leading others to breaking the Sabbath?
How can church leaders organize programs to avoid people breaking the Sabbath? Well, you organize spiritual programs. You organize simple programs. You organize programs that are not too demanding in the activity details required. Simple, Bible-based, spiritual, and easy to participate in. Nothing complicated, complex, requiring argument. Something simple and thoroughly spiritual. And did I get over to you? Simple, thoroughly spiritual. Avoid organizational meetings. Avoid planning meetings wherever possible. Let the meetings be worship meetings, Bible study meetings, testimony meetings, fellowship meetings, encouragement meetings, praying for the sick meetings, family together meetings.
Please, Pastor, can you provide references in the Bible supporting Saturday as the true Sabbath, not Sunday, in order for teaching and informing friends and family that often ask that question?
Well, it's so obvious. We go all the way to, well, Father in heaven, as I continue, speak through me, I pray, please, in Jesus' name, amen. This Sabbath issue is a very, very critical one. You know, in Luke 18, the rich young ruler came to Christ, and Christ said to him, yet lackest thou what? One thing. Many people listening to me, they lack one thing. That's switch from Sunday to Sabbath. Many people, that's all they lack. observe God's day, not Constantine's day or the Pope's day. They just lack one thing. Or as Jesus said to a scribe in Mark chapter 12, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Some people are close, but they're missing one thing, proper observance of the seventh day. Now, as early as Genesis 2, before Adam and Eve, while Adam and Eve were still in the garden, Genesis 2 from verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. As early as Genesis 2, while Adam and Eve were sinless in the garden, we were introduced to the concept of a holy day. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, well, before the Israelites, Abraham, in Genesis 26, verse 5, God told Isaac, I will bless you. Why? Because Abraham kept my statutes, my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. What are the commandments? The 10. Abraham was a Sabbath observer in the wilderness. I mentioned earlier, Exodus 16. God tells them in verse 26, 6 days ye shall gather it, meaning manna, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there shall be none. Exodus chapter 20, the Sabbath commandment. Exodus 31, verse 16 and 17. 6 days God created, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Ezekiel 46, verse 1, the 6 working days, then we have the Sabbath day. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. Isaiah 58, verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, it is God's day. It has always been the seventh day, and that has never changed. And we have an entire nation on the face of the earth that has kept the seventh-day Sabbath hundreds and hundreds, and that, is, of course, is the Jewish nation. And so there's no controversy as to which is the Bible Sabbath. There really isn't. Even among Sunday scholars, there is. If you read the Catholic Catechism, it tells you clearly the Bible Sabbath is the seventh day, Saturday. The Sabbath is Saturday, but they make a difference between the Sabbath and Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's Day, they say. Sabbath is just the Sabbath of the Bible, the Jewish Sabbath. The Catholic Catechism tells you clearly the Bible Sabbath, Sabbath of the Jews, is Saturday. But we keep Sunday because we had the power to change it. You cannot change God's law. So all you need is simple honesty. You read the Bible, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. There is not one verse in the Bible that regards the first day as holy, not one. But when people are determined to do what they want to do, they do not need evidence. They do whatever they want. But I do believe as well, there's some people who are honestly in error regarding observing the first day, Sunday, as the Sabbath. It has never been, it isn't now, and will never be the Sabbath of the Bible. It is a creation of Constantine and the Catholic Church. So every Sunday-keeping church is obeying the Catholic Church. When the Catholics passed laws making Sunday the Sabbath, as early as 364, the Council, I think, of Laodicea, there were no Baptists, no Methodists, no Lutherans, no Pentecostals, no Presbyterians, no nothing of the kind. Hundreds of years later, these churches rose and they found Sunday, and they just adopted Sunday. Every Sunday-keeping church is paying respect to the Catholic Church. And a lot of churches call themselves Protestant churches. The Protestant war cry was Bible and the Bible alone. If that's the case, the Bible and the Bible alone says the seventh day is the Sabbath, and God does not change his laws. Any more questions?
Yes, sir. I am an Adventist. I attend church some Sabbaths, but work on others to provide for my family. Am I still considered a Sabbath keeper if
no.
I work on some Sabbaths?
Nope, don't finish it. Don't finish it yet. Nope. No, no. Let's go to Matthew 10. Let's read verse 37. Now, these are tough situations. When you discuss the family, you've got to be careful because you can lose your life. But we must always stand on thus saith the Lord. Am I right? All right. Matthew 10, read verse 37. As we keep in mind this person who works on Sabbath to take care of the family. You have Matthew 10:37. What does that say? He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. You cannot put your family ahead of God. Now, I said this is tough. That's what Adam did. Now, here's what God said. Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I, so we have the voice of the wife and the voice of God. Adam chose Eve's voice. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Sarah told Abraham, sleep with Hagar. And he did. He chose Sarah's voice over God's voice. And problems between Arabs and Jews have continued from then until now. God bless the families. Do not, there's a family in heaven, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But obedience to God comes ahead of everything else. That's why Jesus says, count the cost. Following God is tough. Sacrifices must be made. I'll never forget, many years ago, I had a retired minister who was assisting me. I was with a little church outside Detroit. And he and I were talking one Sabbath after potluck. And he told me about his early years when he could not find work. His wife would be a domestic, washing people's clothes. He couldn't find work because they always wanted him to work on the Sabbath. And so he said to me, he said, one day I sat in my house and I watched my two little boys on the floor, small boys. And I said to God, Father, and he said this, I will watch my two little boys starve to death before, finish the words, I work on Sabbath. And he was not joking. God watched his son die before so that he might save us. He suffered that to save us. God must come first. Who killed Abel? What was the relationship? Who seduced Adam to sin? What was the relationship? Who deceived Isaac when he was blind? Rebecca, what's the relationship? Who tried to kill David and take his place on the throne? Absalom, what was the relationship? Who betrayed Jesus? What was the relationship? Close disciple. Those closest to us can do the most damage. And they're the ones we tend to put ahead of God. God bless the family of that person, but you must trust God to provide. You must trust God. And he brought the Israelites into the wilderness to show them, I can provide water where there usually is no water. I can provide food where there usually is no food. I can provide air conditioning during the day where there's none, and warmth at night where there's none. I can take care of you. All God ever required from the Israelites, give me one word, obedience. And he has not changed that requirement. Obey me. Do what I say. Do not work on Sabbath. Your children are watching you. They'll grow up and work on Sabbath. And God may hold you responsible, even though they're adults by then. God made two adults, Adam and Eve. Everyone else comes as a child, influenced by adults. Did I say that clearly? God made two adults. Everyone else comes as a helpless baby, influenced and shaped by the attitudes of those around them. And we cannot conduct ourselves in such a way that our children develop the wrong attitudes regarding God. Next question.
Is it wrong for me to be a leader or teach in the church just because I work on some Sabbaths?
You work on some Sabbaths. A leader in a church must set an example. Can I have an amen? Amen. You must set an example. When the average member in the pew is saying, but the head elder does this, and the head deacon does this, and the head deaconess runs a whorehouse, and the head deacon runs a casino, then what happened to your influence? Are you with me? If you're a leader of the church, we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about doing all you can not to twist and corrupt and deform people's sense of what's right and wrong. No matter how you tell people, look at Jesus, they look at you. They look at you. If you're leader of the church, God has higher standards for you than for the average member. Next question.
When does the Sabbath begin? How can we accurately determine sunsets? Are weather apps like Weather Underground, AccuWeather, or Weather Channels reliable for this?
The Bible tells us when to start and end the Sabbath. In Leviticus 23, verse 32, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even. From even unto even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. Leviticus 23, verse 32. Mark 1:32 says, at even when the sun is set. So even is sunset. Leviticus 23:32, you celebrate your Sabbath, sunset to sunset. A cloudy sky does not interfere with celebrating the Sabbath, because we ought to start Sabbath celebration a few minutes before the Sabbath actually comes. But that's how I was taught as a boy. They say 15 minutes before, let's say the sun sets at 8:30, 8:15, we're sitting in the living room, we'd cover up the television, turn down any magazine that has pictures on it that are not spiritual, not necessarily bad, just not spiritual. Turn them down. We literally did that. Turn them down. You put a little veil over the TV screen, because that's the devil's eye or whatever it is. We call that welcoming the Sabbath. So the Sabbath comes finding you praying, singing. 15 minutes before sunset now, we assemble again, whether at home or at church, and the Sabbath leaves finding us worshiping, singing. That's how I was raised. We have to guard the edges of the Sabbath. Sunset to sunset, AccuWeather, whatever else, that is no hindrance to proper Sabbath observance if it is in the heart to obey God.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.